morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brother Corey.
How are we?
Hi, Corey.
Everybody good?
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Ready to pray? Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, we thank you for giving us this Lord's Day. Father, thank you for providing for us a time and a place, God, where we can be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, where we can help carry each other's burdens, and we can pray for one another, and we can encourage one another. And Father, we can weep with one another. I am thankful, Lord, for your presence with us. We're not of the world, but we understand we still have to live in the world, and that causes pain. But we're thankful, Lord, that we don't walk alone. You're walking with us. You are carrying us. Carry us on your shoulders, just like a father and his child. And I'm so grateful. Father, there's so many families that are grieving right now, and we just want to lift them up, Father, and ask you to be with them and give them comfort and peace. We want to pray for Joe and his family, the South family, Maggie's family. We want to pray for Sandra and her family, and the Sanders family. They're all grieving, Lord, and we just pray that your presence will be felt in those families. And we pray, Father, most of all, that they would, in their pain and in their grief, they would lift their eyes to you as they're taking things to heart at this time, Lord. My hope is they would think about life and death and come to realize that they need a Savior. And for those who are grieving, who are your children, Lord, I just pray you'll fill them with comfort and peace. Use them as a light that shines to the rest of the family. And Father, we want to lift up Brother Gary. Father, we thank you so much for carrying him this far in his treatments. And we pray you'll continue to bless his treatments. We pray, Father, that things would all be done according to your plan. And we just pray you'll keep him and his family safe. Pray that he'll be healed up and ready for his next step. And Lord, we want to pray for Ashley. Father, we know that you're working in her life. It wasn't that long ago, Lord, we were praising you for her reading her Bible and drawing near to you, Lord. But we know that there's a spiritual war going on. And Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would give her victory, Lord Jesus, in your name. Please let what's happening now, Lord, be the thing that helps her to truly repent. Please continue to bless Leanne and her family. Lord, we thank you for the news that Stevie's going to church. And Lord, we just pray that as she hears your word, Lord, that faith would come and her life would be changed. Her life, the life of her family, would be changed. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray you bless Teresa and her unspoken prayer. We pray you'll meet that need. And we also want to pray for little Lila. Lord, we pray you'll give that young lady what she needs. Please protect her. Lord, please bless her. Please help her to know, Lord, that you love her and that she can call on you anytime. And Lord, I'm thankful for Miss Kim. I'm thankful, Lord, for the light that she shines and where you've placed her. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for giving us time, Lord, to study your word. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to grow this morning. Please help us to gain a deeper understanding of the truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's God-given blame to somebody. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yep. All right, so we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord for a little bit. The fear of the Lord. Who we're fearing, what is the fear of the Lord, and what are the benefits of the fear of the Lord? Those are three things we're going to get to. The fear of the Lord, we got to make sure we understand who we're talking about. The fear of Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. Sometimes pronounced Yahweh. You know, the Hebrew language doesn't have any vowels. So that's why it's written Y-H-W-H. But this is the name that God gave himself. Okay? This is the name that God gave himself. Because of a couple things, one being the command not to use God's name in vain, and because blasphemy was punishable by death, the Jews wouldn't use the name of God when they would speak or when they would write. Nor they would normally use Elohim or Adonai. Elohim is a generic title, God, and Adonai means Lord or Master. They would substitute that often. I'm not saying that's what they did in the Bible. When God was speaking, they would write what he said to write, but the Jews would not use his name. And what ended up happening is they took the vowels from the Hebrew word Adonai and they put them in to this word Yahweh to make Jehovah. So there's two other words that were more generic words that they would use for God so that they wouldn't use his proper name that he gave himself, because they were afraid of using it in vain. So they would use these other words for God. And what happened was, I don't know when this happened or how this happened, but what they started mixing the words together. And from that's how we go from Yahweh to Jehovah, is because they took vowels from different words that generically mean God or Lord, and they put them in with YHWH to make Jehovah. That's where the name Jehovah comes from. Most of our English Bibles, whenever the word Yahweh is there, they put Lord, like we have here, the fear of the Lord. But this is the God who revealed himself, who gave himself this name, Yahweh. He revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, and he explained what this name means. You remember what he said? I am who I am. Who do I tell them sent me? And he said, you tell them I am sent me. That's how God described his name, Yahweh, I am. It means that he's eternal. Basically, it's the verb to be. He just is. I am. He always was, always will be, and he's unchanging. He's eternal, and he's faithful. He's the God of the Bible, and this is the God that we're to fear, no other. And when we fear him, that's when we begin to walk in wisdom. So what is it to fear God? That's what I've been working on the last 2 weeks. What is it to fear God? I'm going to try to explain it. I'm going to try to explain it this way. I'm going to give you four words, okay? Realization from God's revelation. I'm not trying to make a riddle. I'm trying to make it easy to understand what I'm trying to do. So realization from God's revelation that leads to action that brings satisfaction. We're going to go through each one, and I'll give you scriptures for all this. This fear of the Lord covers a long distance. I think we fear God knowing, number one, that he's able to destroy us. But also this fear comes from the fact that we come to understand that our actions can hurt him. Our actions grieve him. So one is the beginning and one is maturity. So it spans this whole gap. Not just that God can destroy us. But as I grow in my fear of the Lord, I understand that my actions grieve him. And I don't want to do that either. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know he can hurt me, but because I love him, I don't want to hurt him either. So it covers a long distance. A realization from God's revelation that leads to action that brings satisfaction. That's my definition. Here's some scriptures to back it up. So realization. Let's look at Matthew 10:28. Jesus said, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a realization for you, that you are not in control of your destiny. God is in control of your destiny, and he can destroy you. Without Christ, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. That's the realization that's the beginning of wisdom. That realization, it's our hope that realization leads to a conviction. There's conviction of sins that brings repentance. It turns somebody away from their sins to Christ so they'll be saved. This is this is more of the emotional part. Fear is an emotion, okay? And when we talk about the fear of God, we can't just say that it doesn't involve an emotion. Oh yeah, it does. If you understand who God is and what he's able to do, it brings an emotion. I think about Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up in the vision. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, there was fear. There was conviction in God's presence. That doesn't go away either as we grow in Christ. The Bible says we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. As we grow in fear, it's not a fear that paralyzes, okay? It's a fear that motivates. And that makes fear a good thing. As Ray Comfort on the YouTube thingy, he likes to tell people, you know, if you knew the plane, you were on a plane and you knew it was going to crash, that would motivate you to get a parachute. The fear would motivate you to do what would save your life. That makes it a good thing. That makes fear your friend, not your enemy. There's always this temptation to be afraid to talk about hell and judgment and those things, but these bring the proper fear that will motivate people to find the solution to save their soul. They have to have that realization. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not fear that paralyzes, it's fear that motivates. This realization, it only comes from one place. It comes from God's Word. It comes from revelation. The only way this can happen in a person's life is if they hear the Word of God. The Word of God brings fear into people's hearts. I'll show you an example. We go all the way back here to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. So we talked about who we're fearing. We talked about Jehovah, who we're to fear. How does this fear come into your life? It has to come from revelation. It has to come from the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. We're going to read Moses speaking to the people. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Oreb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Hearing the word of God is what causes proper fear of God. It's not just that God wants you people to be scared, okay? Because actually, when he spoke to them on the mountain was like covered in smoke, and there was lightning and earthquakes and all kinds of things happening with that mountain. That could have terrified them enough. But what God wanted them, how God wanted them to fear them was not through the experience of seeing this supernatural thing happen. Okay? He wanted them to fear by hearing the truth. That's what caused the fear. Too many people today, I say it all the time, are seeking some type of spiritual experience. Okay? Because that's easier to do than actually read your word. Read the word, and actually the spiritual experience doesn't really cause the fear of God. The word causes the fear of God.
And spiritual stuff sometimes is just feelings.
Yep. That's all feelings and emotions, but it's not based on anything with any foundation. And it goes away. Lasting fear of God, right here. Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth. Not just at the conference where the cool stuff happens.
Right.
That doesn't change people's lives. The word changes people's lives. It brings the fear of God that lasts. And that's the beginning of Deuteronomy. Go to the end of Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy 31. Moses is installing Joshua as the new leader, and he tells him the same message. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear. Are you noticing a pattern? Hearing, fearing. Hearing and fearing. Hearing the word and fearing. Learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. So, the realization that God is able to destroy, but also the realization that God wants to save us. It comes to us through his revelation. It comes through his word. And as we grow, we learn, okay, that his will for us, that we've heard and feared, is good for us. It's good for us. Psalm 119, verse 38 through 40. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Every verse is about the word of God. 170 some verses. Psalm 119, verse 38 through 40. Psalm 119, verse 38. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. So the realization that comes from Revelation, it develops, it grows, and we long for more revelation. We want more revelation, and what in turn, that gives us more fear, greater fear, because all these things are good things. When we fear the Lord, we'll develop a desire to hear more. See, it's not a fear that paralyzes, it's a fear that motivates. So the fear of God is produced by the Word of God. It brings submission to Him, and it brings commitment to Him. So the realization comes to us through the revelation, and it leads to what? Action. It leads to action. Let's see, I have Deuteronomy 17 written down here. Didn't write them all out. So I'm just as surprised as you are sometimes when we get to the verse. I read this verse on Sunday night because I thought this was interesting. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. This is instructions for kings. God gave this instruction long before they ever had a king. It's interesting to read because He said, the day is coming when you're going to ask for a king. You know, He knows the end from the beginning. The day is coming when you're going to ask for a king. And when you do, this is how He's supposed to act. Verse 18 says, also it shall be, when He sits on the throne of His kingdom, that He shall write for Himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with Him, and He shall read it all the days of His life, that He may learn to fear the Lord His God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. So there's one more thing added to this. After hearing and fearing, he says that we also should observe these words. It should produce action. As James says, you remember, we are to be doers of the word, and not just hearers. It should produce action. Psalm 128:1 is great. I'm not really trying to explain this myself. I'm trying to just let the Word explain it, right? Psalm 128:1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, comma, who walks in His ways. So here you have a verse that equates fearing the Lord with walking in His ways. Your actions will show that you indeed do fear the Lord. You will learn to hate what God hates, and you will learn to love how God loves. Because we have Proverbs 8:13 that says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So as you grow in the fear of the Lord, you will learn to hate the things that God hates. You'll learn to love the things that are good. So the realization comes from the revelation, and it leads to action. Is this all making sense to everybody? Oh, thank you, Lord. And now I want to throw this in here at the end, because what this all produces is good. I think it's too easy to think that the fear of the Lord is a negative thing, but it's a good thing. And it produces something that satisfies. This produces satisfaction. Psalm 112. Psalm 112 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. Why did I put this here? Because, again, you see that the fear of the Lord is equated with what? Delight. Delight. It's a joy to do the Lord's will when you fear Him. It becomes something that actually satisfies. When you move into this area in your fear of the Lord, you realize that it's not just a cold type of religion, right? It's a warm relationship with God. It produces something that actually satisfies what you've always been longing for. It becomes your delight.
Yeah, it produces security and safety and peace of mind. And that's true satisfaction.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it releases you from the thought that you have to do everything and fix everything. Mm. There's like, you know, if he's got your best interests at heart, then you do what you need to do to be obedient, and then you leave the rest to him.
So what ends up happening, okay, is you go from this place where you are broken, okay, and you go to this place where you are worshiping. As you move through this, do you see? You end up in a place where you are worshiping the Lord for leading you through this process to this fear of the Lord. And all these things kind of go together. It's not separate things. It really is one thing, but just so that I can get a handle on it in my mind, I kind of have to break it down. But it leads to us worshiping God for His goodness. So on the relationship side of it, I want to throw these two things out there. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? If God kept track of our sins, who could stand? None of us. But verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So this is the other side of it, right? The warm relationship part. We fear him. Why? Because he's forgiven us. Forgiven us. We know what he could have done, but he's forgiven us. And that makes us, that develops this fear into something that's it's reverent. That becomes reverence. It becomes worship. Because we understand it's all for our good. And one more here before I fly through the last part of this. I love that Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, he brings up the fear of the Lord. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our fear for him grows because of all he's done for us. And again, that's what I was trying to say at the beginning. That's how this whole gap that it spans, okay? That I fear God because he can destroy me, but when you come to the other side of this explanation, you find I fear God because of all he's done for me. I want to be good to him. I've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and what does that make me want to do? It makes me want to fear him more. It makes me want to honor him more. It makes me want to reverence him more. Everybody good with all that? So, now let's go back to Proverbs for a second. Because he mentions the fear of the Lord a bunch of times in Proverbs. And I'll give you a list of the benefits. The benefits of the fear of the Lord. So we already know, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That verse says. Proverbs 9:10 similarly says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, the first benefit of fearing the Lord is knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing facts. Yeah. Wisdom is putting those facts into action. Navigating life. People who don't have the fear of the Lord, they don't have wisdom. Now, they can understand a lot of things. They can be good at a lot of things, right? You can be a brain surgeon and not be a Christian because you can learn those facts, you can learn to do those things, but they don't have the wisdom of God. They're not navigating life properly according to God's will, and they do things that are foolish. The Holy Spirit gives us this wisdom when we fear God. Okay, the next benefit, life. Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Number one, walking in wisdom will keep us from doing dumb things that could shorten our life. Okay? It's not a promise that nothing bad will ever happen. I mean, you could die in a car accident today, right? That's not what he's saying. But the fear of the Lord will keep you from doing things that will cut your life short. Okay? Also, at the same time, walking in the fear of the Lord, okay, we could also say, walking in the fear of the Lord, we could also say, is putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Can I equate those two together?
Absolutely.
And what does that do? That brings eternal life. So yes, when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, your days will be prolonged because they are forever. Forever. Is that fair to put those two things together? Look at verse 30 in this right there. Proverbs 10:30 says, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. So you see the context? Talking about eternity. But at the same time, walking in the fear of the Lord will keep you from doing things that will shorten your life. So, can I say this? Can I say it like this? The fear of the Lord does both. It adds days to your life, and it adds life to your days. Make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I think that means. Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." A fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. Pretty cool, huh? The next one, confidence. Benefit of the fear of the Lord is confidence. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. In who? In Him, yeah. I'm confident in Him. When I look at myself, I'm terrified. But I'm confident in Him. And guys, I have to do a lot of things in my Christian life that terrify me. But I do them anyway, and I say, God, I trust you. And I'm going, and I'm going to do it anyway. My confidence is in Him, not in myself.
But give us an example of what you do that terrifies you.
Everything. I was trying to make it sound good,
preaching,
but everything.
Teaching, funerals, weddings, counseling.
Raising my kids, loving my wife. Delivering the mail.
Right.
Yep. In short, everything.
Brother, can you give me, I need $1,000, something like this. Gotta pray.
Pray.
Yeah, I gotta pray. Lord, do I give you cash? What? No. Go on, brother.
Yep, pray. Our confidence is in God.
Yes.
So that verse 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. I also want to put inheritance, because the second part of that verse says, and His children will have a place of refuge. And the reason I put inheritance, because He brings up His children, and then I put Proverbs 20, verse 7, to match up with that. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. You set a good example for your kids to follow in the fear of the Lord. So number 3 was confidence and inheritance. So what do we have so far? Knowledge and wisdom, life, confidence, and inheritance. Number 4, contentment and peace. The things that Carolyn brought up. She always jumps ahead of me. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Contentment. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, then great treasure with trouble. So if I'm content with what I have, I stay out of trouble. Contentment and peace come from fear of the Lord. People who disobey God to gain more only bring trouble into their life. Number 5 benefit of the fear of the Lord is instruction and reputation. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 15, verse 33, instruction and reputation. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You know, one thing that I love about following Christ is how He directs my path. And even when I make mistakes, you know, not when I act wicked or anything like that, but when I make mistakes, God still covers my tracks. It's just amazing. It's instruction, and He takes care of my reputation. Before honor is humility. See, the thing you're supposed to seek is humility, and you let God take care of the honor part. When you fear the Lord, you'll be humble, and you let God take care of the honor part. I put a couple verses just to amplify it, just to let you know what they are. 27, verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Chapter 25, verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. That's not real glory. We let God take care of that. Benefit number 6 of the fear of the Lord, grace and prudence. Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Okay, the first part of verse 6 is us forgiving others. Since we've been shown grace, since we've been forgiven, we can forgive others. We can do that in the fear of the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. This is prudence. This is, I put a verse here to help explain it. Just using Proverbs to explain Proverbs. So Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Prudence is being able to see trouble coming and get out of the way. Stay out of it. Okay, number seven, real fast, spiritual blessings. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Now, that doesn't mean you'll be rich. We already read, a little with the fear of the Lord is better than great treasure with trouble, right? This is spiritual blessings. And to explain this, I want to remind you about Peter and John when they went up to the temple and there was a guy begging there. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. He had something better that he could share with him. This is spiritual blessings. And if you want to make a note, Ephesians 1:3 says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Okay, number eight, the benefit of the fear of the Lord. And this is the best one. Those are all good. I mean, it's hard to say the best one. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Praise from God. Praise from God. Say what? Proverbs 31, 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Romans 2:29 says, He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. What matters to those who fear the Lord is that God is pleased with their actions, not men. If you fear the Lord, you won't fear men and what they have to say about you when you're doing what God wants you to do. Because you're only concerned about His praise, not the praise of men. And will God praise you? Well, when you were studying the parables, you remember Jesus said to the servant who was faithful to the end, He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Yep, praise from God, the benefit of the fear of the Lord. Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Another awesome time, God, looking into your word. And I just pray these things will be hidden in our heart, Lord, and we wouldn't sin against you, God, because we don't want to grieve your spirit, because we love you and we thank you for teaching us the truth that we're sinners that need a Savior. And thank you for leading us to Christ so we can be forgiven and have eternal life. God, we love you. Please bless the rest of this day. Please use these services for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.